That thing blinging. Love you, babe. For those of you who don't know, my Christmas was pretty good. It was really good. How about you guys? Was it good? Good Christmas? Nice. For those of you who live like in the Bonnie Lake, Buckley, Ording, Tahale area, if you order stuff on Amazon, it was probably me that put that gave you that present. So you're welcome. So it was pretty good. It was super nice, especially I worked on the 24th. And being that connecting point between like the person receiving the gift, they're like, you saved Christmas. Oh my gosh. And they were so happy. I was like, ooh, okay. All right. I'm special. So that was super fun. But yeah. And for those of you who don't know, on the 26th, I put myself on one knee and proposed to the love of my life and perhaps made the best decision of my life. So, and I say that proudly. So thank you. Thank you. But yeah, and today's topic, I wanted to talk about decisions, specifically decisions that we make between us and God and with God and the inner workings of how we feel about those decisions. Does that make sense? Some of us, you know, we make decisions in this world and in our lives, and sometimes we kind of look back and think, was it meant to be? And that is the title of this message. And to start off, first of all, I just want to say thank you to, I mean, just my dad, but all of you for giving me the grace to speak to you. It really is a privilege and an honor, and I don't take it lightly. It's a very beautiful thing. But to kickstart this message further is to talk a little bit about my personal life when it comes surrounding this message. Can we get some music in? Some pads or keys? I don't know if someone wants to do it. But yeah, thank you. And for me, looking back at my life and the decisions that I've made, I always heard my dad say, whether it was a good decision or a bad decision or something happens, like, it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be, you know? Like more recently, I work at Amazon, like, if I don't know if I said that, but, and some people don't know, but the turnover rates at Amazon are pretty high. So you can get canned pretty easily, you know, if you're stupid, you know. But if you're, like, likable, if you do your job, if you're a hard worker, you keep it, you know. And I'm always thinking, like, man, am I going to get canned? Am I going to get fired? Oh, my gosh. And I would tell that to my dad, and he was like, oh, if you are, then it wasn't meant to be. And I'm just like, what do you mean? I'm going to be jobless. Like, that's stupid, you know. It's like, how do you get there? What helped me realize that is that we are all in God's time. You know, we live in His domain. We live in His in this life. We belong to Him. You know, and when we surrender ourselves to God, you know, He takes care of us. You know, He doesn't leave you astray in any decision that you make. You know, like for example, like me being here right now. Like, I think it was meant to be that for me to be on a stage with the microphone in my hand, you know, while I don't have my mom's voice, you know, luckily I did get my dad's yapping. So this is meant to happen, you know, what I think at least. So in that context, you know, like God did put me somewhere in his vision in my life, but that was only because I surrendered. There was a point in my life where I surrendered my will up to Him to do what He wants to do with my life. You know, there was a moment in my life where I had to make the decision, you know, like it says right over there. I am the one who has firmly decided to go to the end. I crossed the line. The decision is made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, we all at some time in our life, how should I say this? Like God's knocking, right? God's calling, you know? And it's up to us to pick up the phone or open the door, you know? And once we do, you know, it's pretty crazy. It turns into a pretty crazy ride, you know? And a lot of the decisions that we make after that while they are our own decisions, God is in those decisions as well. As much as we like to think that, oh, I made this happen because it was me, you know, it was God's will that made it happen. You know, like me being on stage, I sometimes, you know, like I think, man, yeah, it was me who put myself here. But no, it had nothing to do with me at all. It's not about me at all, you know. Rather than that, you know, God put me here and I still don't fully know why, you know. I still wrestle with it sometimes, like I did with my dad a few days ago. I was like, I got nothing. I'm working my butt off at Amazon. I'm working 11 hours a day, 5 days a week. I'm tired. I got nothing. He's like, chill. You think this is easy? Like, come on. Like, what do you, he's like, he was like, what do you think I have to go through? You know? I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. And, you know, letting it out and all that stuff and kind of giving it to God, you know, it gave me everything I need to do his will. You know, because that's what we're really going towards, you know, because it's not our, yes, it's our life, but what we give to God, he ultimately gets to decide what to do with it. And we just simply say yes. So growing up, it wasn't until I learned in ministry school, like a really practical, very useful tool in how to make decisions in my life, applying biblical teaching and knowledge. Because before that, it was kind of just like how I felt, you know, it was always about feeling. Like there is like, you know, and there's like two types of people, like there's seers and then there's feelers, right? I was a big time feeler, you know, which I'm pretty sure is not the most common. It was not very common for men, you know, to feel feelings, you know, like, what's that? You know, you're a guy and you're feeling feelings, like, oh, what's that? But one thing that really taught me on making very clear decisions, especially with God, is in Galatians 22 to 23. I forgot to write the verses, but it's in those chapters if you want to, I don't know, scroll. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, also known as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So if this is, and this is how we apply it practically, right? Let me just break it down. If I were to make a decision, if there's something that I am teetering on the edge of like, do I do this or do I not do this, you know, or I'm thinking about something that has happened and I'm kind of fuzzy and I don't really know if this was true or not, I look at these aspects, right? These things that I just listed, and I think, okay, if it isn't rooted in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, then it wasn't meant to be. But if I do something, and or if I'm thinking about doing something, and it is rooted in love, joy, peace, patience, so on and so forth, then it was meant to happen. It's like with the decision of my future wife, or soon-to-be wife. I remember, as long as I can remember, when I started liking girls, you know, my dad told me, you know, it's like, when you find your person, when you look for your person, you know, you're going on, you're imagine you're going on a road in a car, right? And you're going and you're alone, right? You're, because this is your life, right? And then eventually you find someone who's going on the same road as you, very close, in the same direction, and you just make and all you have to do is make the decision to just get in the same car together and keep going, you know? Because like, I think about this, it's like how convenient that whatever happened like a few days ago and now we're passing a microphone, you know, like how many people get to do that? You know, that is purely God right there, that woven the fabric of all the things that happened in our lives to make this happen, you know? So when I think, was this meant to be? I think absolutely, absolutely, because love, joy, peace, patience. I mean, I hope I don't cry right now because this is going to be very awkward. You know, it's part of it, you know, it was in the journey all along between me and her, you know, and there were rough moments, you know, couples in this room, you know, young and old, both know it's relationships don't go without hard times. You know, it's inevitable. But what you do during that process, what you do in those moments, you know, that's what really shines and what really makes two people one, you know, one unit. So was it meant to be? I want to go further. I want to break down and go into some tools, some more tools on how to decipher and to discern whether, you know, the decisions we're making are good or not, or why, whether they're meant to be or not. And the first thing I want to go to is kind of like what I mentioned earlier, and it's free will. You know, while we all have free will, you know, that's something we all agree on, I'm sure of, you know, when free will exists, it's there. However, when we choose to cross that line and become a disciple of Jesus Christ, our free will, bye-bye. You can kiss that goodbye, you know? While you do have a choice, you know, you can say no. Like, for example, Saul, King Saul, you know? I remember thinking about this message, like the story came to my mind, you know, and I was like thinking, was it meant to be for Saul to be king? I think, yes, it was meant to be. Because at the time, the Israelites needed to be freed from the Philistines, you know, and King Saul did that, you know. However, through his choices, through the choices that he made outside of God's will, right, disobedience, you know, Samuel's prophecy, you know, and God promising David the throne, right? These were spellings of his downfall, and those were his choices. It started at his choice outside of God's will, you know. So the safest place you can possibly be is in the will and the embrace of the Father, whether it's on the battlefield or it's in a garden. The safest place you can be is in the will of the Father. So I'll say it one more time. We have free will, but when we choose to surrender ourselves to God, that's what we're surrendering. Our free will, our will, etc. And that's something to behold, because now you can relax. That's the good thing. You can kind of just sit back and relax, and all you really need to do is just obey. Do the thing that you were designed to do. You know, when God created us humans, man and woman alike, he created the innate desire and the longing to worship, to follow something, to look up to something, to someone, you know? And that's a good thing, but it can be a little dangerous, you know? Because how many know, if you don't choose God in your life as my mother just said it earlier, Jesus doesn't just sit on a throne in heaven, he sits on a throne in our hearts, you know? If you don't choose to put God there, something else will take its place. Whether it's money, whether it's our own self-image, you know, like buff dudes that go to the gym, you know, that's their church, you know, they go to the gym and they, you know, and nah, uh-uh. It's what we were programmed, right? That is our software. We were meant to do specifically something, you know, with our affection and adoration. It goes somewhere. Like Jesus said in, I want to read John chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So Jesus, yes, he had his own will, but he also only did what he saw his Father doing. So his will, essentially, as a man on earth, wasn't his own, but it was the Father's. And that's what brought him to such, like, to be exalted as the Lamb of God, to be the Son of Man, because he didn't take it all for himself, you know? And that really is the model of our life, right there in the verse that I just read. You know, we don't just do what we see ourselves doing. We do what we see God doing, our Father doing, you know, in some interesting fashion. You know, you can apply this in a secular sense where, you know, let's say I have a bad father, right? And he abuses me and he hurts me and all of these things. And I later grow up without dealing with that issue. I become exactly that, right? In my later years, if I don't deal with the root cause, it just goes on. It's like, double it, give it to the next person. Double it, give it to the next person. And then that's what the devil is trying to do, you know? But when we see what our Father is doing, we simply, and it's easier for God. I would honestly say it's really easy for men, because I had this thought of, like, you know, and it's true. Men are more attracted to things. This isn't just like in a sexual sense. It's also in a more broad sense of, like, we are more attracted to what we see with our eyes. Women more attracted to things that they hear. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, I'm not trying to be Mr. Psychologist Guru over here. You know, it's not my place. But just based off my experience, you know, as a man, you know, and I have a woman by my side to confirm, you know. So if I'm wrong, she's wrong. You know, it's her fault. But yeah, so in that sense, you know, it's easy, but at the same time, you know, you have the tools necessary to break free from those chains and those shackles. And what separates that is your choice, your willingness to do right, to do what is good, you know? Because I think of my choices in life, you know, every choice that I make, I would say, in a sense, is rooted in, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like him in a way that I get to express myself as a human being and my individuality. But everywhere I go, you know, all I really want to be known for, you know, if, let's say, you know, I leave this world, you know, and things happen and all that stuff. All I want is just to be known as a good man. You know, that's it. If I were to think in more of a more of objective sense, personally, you know, I just want to be known as a good person. And every decision I make, no matter how it, like, it hurts me, it torments me, because great, now I'm crying. That's you know, I know that it's the right decision and it's meant to be, because God is right there with me. You know, growing up, I wasn't the strong kind, I guess you could say, when I was younger. I remember crying to my dad, like, man, why can't I be like you? Just give me a sec. Like, questioning my identity, questioning my individuality. I would come to my dad and I'd be like, man, why am I so weak? Why do people walk all over me? Why do people spit at me and do all these harsh things, you know? It's like, what did I do? So I was like a little boy, you know, daddy, like, why? Like, to him, like, why can't I be like you? I remember he looked at me in the eyes and he said, he's like, you don't want to be like me. He's like, son, I wish I was more like you. He said, to be like me, you have to grow up in a harsh world. You have to grow up with no dad, no support system, nothing, zero, no more than that, less than zero. He's like, I wish I was more like you. Because he said, if I had what you had, I would be exactly like you. It was a very life-changing moment for me. Sorry, I'm not trying to trauma dump or anything. This is just me being me, you know? This is something that's been inside of me my whole life, and I've been waiting for the right moment to share it with people that I love, people that I trust. And yeah, it's not about what you want in this world, what you want to be. It's about what God wants you to be. And decisions you make reflect that, like, deeply. So don't take, so when you are, when you do decide to cross that line and to go beyond what you thought possible with Christ, don't question it. Don't doubt for a single moment that you're where you need to be. Don't doubt that, because you are. Like I said earlier, you know, the safest place you could possibly be in this world is in the embrace and in the will of the Father. Why is that? No matter what decisions we make with Christ, no matter how we feel, like, to be even more vulnerable, you know, I have the privilege to disciple and to minister to teenage boys, you know, and it really is a privilege. While it has its ups and downs and hills and valleys, it is a privilege, because, man, it's just an indescribable feeling when you look at someone through the eyes of God. With the eyes of God, you see them and you just can't help but just express the fact that they will do so much with their life. Like with my dad, I'm sure of it. It's like, why do you want me here? Like, why am I doing this? You know, why do you even bring up this? You know, he still doesn't have anything to say about that. He just puts this in my hand and here I am. But there's just this indescribable feeling, like I would feel like, you know, if I were to have a son, like I look at him, despite of what he thinks of himself, I see so much potential, so much goodness. It's like that with them, you know? And I'll be honest, there are times where I think like, man, I could have done this better. I could have done that better. You know, I could have gonna give him more attention, because look at him, he's probably struggling, you know? And I circle on and on and on about these decisions that I make, who I spend so much time with, you know, because I'm just one person, you know. I wish I could be like 10 places at once and be everywhere I want to be, you know, but I have a life, I have priorities, you know, and learning to manage that, those priorities, it's something that we all get to do. We all get to learn how to manage, and that's just called being an adult. But looking back in those decisions, you know, I have to be rooted in the fact, not in just my feelings, how I feel about what I'm doing, but rooted in the fact that I know that God is taking care of me and taking care of those individuals in my life. Despite of what I might think of how I'm doing, I can't help but express the feeling of joy when I look at them. Like, apart from today, you know, Louisa was telling me a while ago, like, I only seen you cry once. And that was when you were talking with about the boys, you know, the teenage boys. And I'm like, sorry, you know, this is the second time. And it's true. Like, they don't even know it, but I love them so much, you know, like, I can't express it, you know. But like I said, you look at someone and you see potential, and all you can do is just sit there and just watch them grow and just hope to be there when you need to be there, you know? But God doesn't make mistakes. I want to say that. And if I am under the will of God and I'm following him, and I want to say even for all of you as well, any decision you make is the right decision. Trust me. Especially when you apply Galatians in the fruit of spirit, the fruits of the spirit, when you apply these aspects, this is a determining factor of where you will go and how you will feel right there in that moment. Because God does not, it is not in God's will to confuse you, to throw you off, to make you spiral. Like, that's not in the will of the Father. But when you're rooted in what you know that is true, like, I know that it is true that what I'm doing is right, because I feel love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And that's all I need to know, that I'm doing good. And I have a heavenly Father speaking over me that I am doing well. And that's for all of you guys, you know. This message isn't just for me, you know. While it is, you know, pulling things from my personal life, it is for some people, I'm certain, in this room who are questioning their decisions, who are questioning what they've done and all of these things. I just want to say, stop worrying. Because if you know God as your personal, and Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are actively pursuing your faith, there is nothing you need to worry about, genuinely, nothing. So just relax, just take a seat back, relax, let God take care of you, and everything will be well. Another thing I want to point out is patience. You know, patience is bitter and its fruit is sweet. I had to say it. going back to the title of this message, if was it meant to be, you know, I just want to say, obviously, this is a very humanistic aspect and way of measuring, like, the truth of the matter is that the greater the distance and the distance between the occurrence of what has happened that you're questioning and the present moment, it gives you a very good idea of if it was actually meant to happen, you know? Just wait a little bit, you know? I don't know, maybe there's someone that you like, someone that you want to go on a date with, but you're not sure how to do it, you know? You're questioning, you know, what should I do? How should I do it? Just wait a little bit, you know? Speaking to, like, a little bit of that side, because there's kids there, and then over here, you know? Just saying. But sometimes, you know, we can't wait that long, you know, between something happening and the present moment. You know, we can't wait too long because we're like little children, like, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now, give it to me now. But God can help you with that, you know? Like, in I believe it's 2 Peter, it's like, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, you know? I can't imagine what it was like for Peter, because he was thinking the Lord will come like the next day, you know? And then after talking with all the other disciples, he's like, oh, 1,000 years is like a day, you know, just to kind of cope with the reality. Super funny. Patience is a big thing in understanding if decisions are like fruitful or not, if they're actually, you know, worth worrying over, you know? It's like my previous relationships, you know, before Louisa, you know, I look back, I'm like, oh yeah, I wasn't meant to be, thank God, you know, because time tells, you know, it's why, you know, you split with someone and you don't just hop on to the next one right after, you wait, you know. For me, it was years and years and years, you know, and it helped me realize that, okay, I'm good, you know. And another thing, is feelings. Feelings, yay! To start off with feelings, talking about that, I want to just say, feelings, they make great servants in our lives, but they're terrible masters. Because if you look at today's world, you know, with politics and all of these things, and trust me, I'm not trying to get political or anything, a lot of us are guided by our feelings, you know, how we feel, what we're feeling, the decisions that we make, you know, it's like, or like children, you know, there's a part of your brain where when you develop, you stop, or when you're young, you make decisions based off pleasure centers, you know, how do I feel about this? Does it make me feel good? Does it not make me feel? And that's how we primarily base our decision making before we grow into adulthood. But after we grow into adulthood and we are in it, we make decisions based off of what we know to be true, what is right, what is wrong, you know. Feelings aside, right? Feelings are there. We're not like, oh, we don't all of a sudden become robots, you know? We're human beings. We're flesh and bone. You know, we have feelings, but they stop to take preeminence in our lives and in our decision-making. I would say this, and this helped me a lot, is to ground yourself in knowing, not feeling, right? And I don't say knowing like pride, you know, like knowing it all, you know, because pride doesn't listen. Pride knows, you know, but to ground yourself in knowing this, that you are in the safest place you can possibly be when you are in the will of God. Know that, right? That can get you a long way. That can get you through hell and back and all around the world, you know, and triumphantly, knowing that you are in the safest place you can be when you are with God. There's no storm. Well, there are storms in our lives that happen, you know. Like Jesus, you know, snoozing during those storms, you know, that's like us, you know, when we truly know, because I feel like when Jesus was sleeping in the boat during the storm, he knew that he was safe. He knew it wasn't his time to die, you know, while all his disciples were freaking out. He knew that he was fine, that in the timeline of his life, that wasn't the end, right? They thought, today is the day we go. But he didn't. That's why he was snoozing, you know? And that's like us, you know? No matter what happens, because we know where we stand and where we are, we can relax. And no matter what life throws at us, we're okay. We're okay. You're okay. Everything's fine. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Honestly, I think that's it, really. For the last message, for the last Sunday of the year, honestly, I wanted to do something very special. And I hope it's okay with you guys if I give a little prophetic word for this house before the end of the year. Is that okay, guys? Okay if I take some risks? During worship, I saw like a baton being passed, and I feel like there is a significant outpouring in the older generation passing the baton to us. Like, I'm speaking to my generation, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, it's too old. I saw that there is going to be a passing along. Like, I was thinking about services like this, you know, and I saw a future where it's primarily us taking responsibility, you know, and to see that happening this next year, say 2025, you know, if I'm wrong, you know, I'm okay with that, you know, because I'm taking a risk. It's not about me being right or wrong or whatever. I felt something and I wanted to just share it and take the risk, because that's just what having faith looks like. And to activate this prophetic word, I'll do it in a little bit. I won't give it away right away, because people will probably start running away from the room. But if I could have everyone stand. And I don't want this service to go out without ministry time. So if you are in the youth, I would say, when I say youth, I mean, if you're in high school, you are a youth, right? If you graduated high school, you're good. You can sit this one out. And if you are a teenager, if you are in middle school, then I'm talking to you. I want all of you to come to the front and be my ministry team. I know some of you guys who graduated like last year, probably like, yes. So I mean it. Come on, come right now, right now, right now. And Louisa, underneath, there's a basket right there. Yeah, can you bring it out? You just pass them along. These are badges. So in case you guys don't know who's on the ministry team and who's not, we have little badges for them to wear. And so this is how this is going to go. If you have, if you are in need of anything, of prayer, of a prophetic word, of encouragement, of healing in your body, and trust me, we all need prayer. So I want all of you guys, give these champions some time to get their sea legs on, you know? So just anything, literally anything, they got it, you know? And how do you, look at me guys, how do you guys have this? Because you have the Holy Spirit. That's good enough, right? That's more than enough. You have the Holy Spirit. Just a little encouragement. And I want us to bring the music up just a little teeny tiny bit more. We'll kind of just keep this going, you know. Service is over, you know. If you want to leave, you have the freedom to do so. You know, that's the cool thing about free will, you know, freedom. You don't have to if you don't want to. But I really encourage you guys, because these are some very, very anointed individuals, you know. And honestly, I'll probably get some double dipping after this as well, because I need it. If I'm up here saying that I need it, you know, certainly a lot of us also need it, you know. And I mean that in a more broad sense. So before that, I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for the privilege that we all get to be gathered in your name in this place. And Lord, I just pray right now that you speak to every individual, both young and old, that they know that they are not separate, they are not too far from you, but they are closer than ever. And I just want to say for those individuals, if you feel like your heart's pounding or you're shaking a little bit, and if you're thinking, oh, I have to go, or if you're thinking, oh, should I go? You should go. Come up to the front. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace, for your love, and for your embrace. In your name we pray. Amen. So thank you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your year. And I love you.